Sincere Christian greetings in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And a very good afternoon to you. What a joy it is to have a day, and especially a day of retreat, Assembly Youth Retreat. As I think that a day of retreat, you are going to make a day of review. And how nice it was to see all of you. Just contemplating on what has gone by in 2013 when you all were together in the Assembly Youth Camp, all seven chapters, seven sessions that you have gone through. A time of review is always good in one's life because it's a time of retrospection. When you can reconsider, when you can rethink, I think such golden opportunities when God gives in one's life. These are the times which we can make a rejuvenating time. Time which can really help us to rethink on things which we are really holding or we are losing on. If there is something that we need to repent and return to the Lord, that's what the Lord expects. And I really thank God seeing each one of you here, and especially in this vibrant age group. So many things are happening around us. I thank God because it's my, I'll say, a golden opportunity to address all of you on behalf of the Lord, being His mouthpiece, holding the Word of God in hand. I won't speak much of mine. I would like to speak much of the Lord. Because such a gracious and good Lord that you and I have, I tell you, He loves you all. Each one sitting in this group this afternoon is very special to Him. And I have already seen, sitting in the group discussion, and the things that you are exchanging one with another, that the Spirit of God is moving here. And I wish the Spirit of God to lay hold on everyone this afternoon, that not of man, but of God may be seen. If there are needed tears to be shed, we might shed it. If there are needed sins to be repented, we might repent. And we might restore ourselves with the Lord this afternoon, rest of the time. As we turn to God's word, it is very important. Walk that matters. If walk that all that matters, what is needed? We need to watch. We need to be watchful. You and I, every one of us, there is no age bar, age group. Any one of us in our Christian life need to watch our life. Watch our walk. If walk that matters. This afternoon, I would like to turn attention to a very important portion of the scripture. This has come very specially to me. Especially when I think of this portion of the scripture, as we read through this passage, three passages we'll read. And while reading, you can notice one particular word coming for three times. And if you're able to identify that, I'll ask you, maybe at the last. And then let me see. As we read and turn to the scriptures, how the Spirit of God is going to guide us in this particular session. Will you please turn with me to Gospel according to Matthew chapter 14 first. Matthew's Gospel chapter 14, and we shall read from verses 28 to 31. Please look into your Bible, pay close attention, look for that word. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the waters. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Will you please turn with me to the next reading in chapter 16. Same gospel according to Matthew chapter 16. This time we shall read from verse 21 to 24. Look for that word. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him.
saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Will you please turn for the last reading in chapter 26. Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26, and last few verses. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verse 73. "And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Keep that one word, if you have noticed, with you for a while in all these three passages. This is for the first time I am preaching this message. Whether it is Peter and all these passages, number of sermons, number of illustrations. But this message comes very special. As I was praying and waiting upon the Lord, thinking all of you, committing each one of us into his loving hands, these words have come very specifically. There was a city, and in the city, the city councilor called a person, and they wanted to install a statue. A horse statue in the middle of the city circle. So the sculptor was called, and he was handed over with a big stone. And the sculptor was asked, "Will you please make a beautiful horse out of it? Because this statue we want to install in the midst of this particular circle, which is very important for us." And the sculptor started his work on this huge rock, marble or granite. And as he was working on it, trying to bring out a horse out of it, some of his friends came to him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm going to make a horse out of it." Horse out of it? When they looked at the size of the stone and the shape of the stone, where does he find the horse out of it? They all laughed at him and they mocked and they said, "How are you going to get this?" He said, "Well, I have a hammer and I have a chisel. With this hammer and chisel, I'm going to work on this rock. And all that is non-horse pieces, I'm going to chip off from this. And when I have chipped off all non-horse pieces, I will have the horse that is what I have in my mind." Why do I talk about this illustration? It is just to say, whenever we turn to God's word, in the account of the gospel, especially when the Lord asking men to follow after him, and what kind of men they were, ordinary fishermen, a big granite like this, about one such we have read in these three passages. But then we find the Lord who has called this fisherman, Simon Peter, a marble huge rock, how skillfully the Lord worked on him. He was a rough stone. He was a person who would have been never useful for things of God. But what a skillful hand and the masterpiece the Lord has brought out of this man. Imagine, just think about it. An ordinary fisherman in the hands of the Lord was made a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Lord, as he continued to work upon him, he was made an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we find he is also addressed as an elder, taking the various responsibilities of the church and churches for the Lord. And the Lord, who has worked on this man and brought out such a masterpiece, who finally became, you know what?
martyr, gave his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a life it was.
Well, when they caught hold of him and they were about to martyr him, you know what did he say? This is the man who followed after him. Let us crucify him the way he speaks about his master.
He said, please hold on. I am not even worthy to be crucified like my master. Hang me upside down. And the history says he was hung upside down.
Whenever we think of such examples in the scripture, dear children, you and I, in the hands of the Lord, can be a great instrument, I tell you. Sitting here, look at each one of us.
So many times we have looked at us in the mirror, but none of us will be able to say, how do I look like? We actually do not know how do we look like.
Well, when others look at us, they'll be able to say what kind of granite and what kind of marble and what kind of roughness, as Digvijay was telling, a kind of anger fit in his heart and mind.
So many natures, so many different people we are.
We are all natural beings, you know. But when you say you are born again child of God, entirely there takes a great difference in your life and mind. What is that being born again? If there is anyone sitting here and who does not know what is being born again, let me say one word to you. We are all born sinners in this world. Born sinners living in sin, we are heading towards hell. Because the wages of sin, Bible says, is death. And there is no escape for anyone by any means and any methods, be it Reiki. So the Lord God who loved you and me, he being God became man for you. He came into this world. Jesus Christ, being Son of God, became Son of Man. He took the penalty of our sin upon himself and he died on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ indeed paid the penalty of our sins in his own body on the cross of Calvary. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died, was buried, and Bible says he rose again on the third day. If you this morning can say to him, Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. This very moment, you will become a child of God. And what a joy it will be. Why do I say that? Because I see most of you sitting here will say, Uncle, that is being done years back, maybe 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Uncle, I am a child of God. Praise God for you. Praise God for every young brother and sister sitting here. As a child of God, do you know that in the very path of our life, very course of our life, Peter was just a fisherman in the course of his life. And the Lord did not make a big change in his life suddenly, but picked up from where he was and started to work on him and brought him out in a wonderful way that he could be all that I said. You know, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is fully committed to him. Even today, even this afternoon, the Lord's eyes are searching. You don't think yourself a big or even a small. Whosoever you are, if you are a born-again child of God, you are in a very special, able, skillful hands of God. He will not use chisel and hammer, but he will use his wonderful graces to bring out something that he has in his mind. And unless he chipped off all that is non-Christ pieces in your life and my life, he will keep working on you. Because he loves you. He takes real care of each one of us. From the passage that we have read, if you can tell me that one particular word from the life of this man that we were talking about. We have read three passages, Matthew 14, Matthew 16, Matthew 26. Since you are very familiar with the scripture, why we turn to scripture? Uncle, talk something practical. Well, I will do that by the help of the Spirit of God. Why, Uncle, scripture? You know why? I have hidden thy word in my heart that I may continue to sin against you. That's what is happening. We know the word. We know the scripture. We have memorized. We can just illustrate from one end to other end. I have hidden thy word in my heart that I might continue to sin against you, that I might not sin against you. It is Beloved, let me tell you, in the assemblies or wherever you are in your life and my life, if at all there is any solution that is needed for us for ultimate cleansing and being brought into the image of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the solid teaching of the Word of God. And there is no limit to how much you can go into the Word of God. Look at these three small incidents that we have from the life of this Peter, a man of God. If you have noticed that word, if anybody here can say me that word, I'll be really very happy to say. In three passages, one word repeated three times. Because on those, building on those three words, I want to bring the three incidents of the life of Apostle Peter before you. If anybody has noticed any word, I didn't say letter. If you say letter, you can write from A to Z and you will get the complimentary prize that I have already with me. I wanted a word. Yeah, if you say A to Z, you know, all these verses will have A to Z. But I'm asking a word. Has anybody noticed that word? I'm going to draw your attention to it. I'm very sorry to say that, because I thought there will be at least somebody who will be able to say that, and I will have an envelope for him or her. So it goes in my pocket again. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. She's trying. Yeah, please. Actually, I was looking for a word that you will say that I have in my mind. Thank you. We'll turn to that. Here is a man. A man with a bad beginning. A man with a bad beginning. When you look at these three passages of the scripture, we find there is so much that is done in his life. In Matthew 14, you will find him beginning to sing. Look at Matthew 14 and verse 30, the word beginning. Beginning to sing. Then you read Matthew 16 and verse 22. He began to rebuke the Lord. Beginning to stray, or beginning to stumble, you can write. When you read Matthew 26 and verse 74, he is beginning to swear. Three things Apostle Peter started doing. There is always a bad beginning. Bad thing does not happen automatically. There is a beginning for bad thing. Do you know about that man who confessed his sin? Then he became man after God's own heart. There was always a bad beginning in his life too. What was that bad beginning in his life? Oh, he gives it very beautifully. If you can summarize that, it will be very nice. You know, in anybody's life, it's always a beginning like that. Maybe I'll just point out to you, I had no thought on turning to it, but since it comes to my mind, let me show it to you also. If you turn to Psalm 19, here is this man after God's own heart, reveals the secret of his life. Turn to Psalm 19 and just look at that word in verse 12. Psalm 19 and verse 12. Look at that. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Sin always begins like this, secretly. But if you read the next word, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Look at the next one. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be right, and I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. Did you notice that? He talks about four steps of sin. It always begins with secret. Sin always begins, the bad beginning in one's life is always in secret. Secrecy. Secret sins will lead you to presumptuous sins, and presumptuous sin will lead you to dominating sin, and dominating sins will lead you to great transgressions. He did not commit the great transgression all of a sudden. There is always a way. Young man, young woman, please remember, secret sin, it always begins secretly. Nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody can understand, nobody can find out. It's all hidden, it's all covered, I'm safe. Everybody thinks that. But as you continue in secret sin for a while, it will lead you to presumptuous sin, and presumptuous sin will lead you to dominating sin, without which you cannot live unless you commit that, and it will ultimately one day be blasted out. Oh,
That young girl, I never expected about her. That young man, oh, he was singing, he was preaching, he was expounding the scriptures. Such a vibrant youth he was in AYC. What has happened to him? Oh God, bad beginning. Look at this man. Three incidents. When David had to say all his secrets of his life in this way, you know, that's why he could become man after God's own heart, because in verse 14 he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Did you get that? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord my God, O Lord my strength. There was a matching. If there is a mismatch between these two, Bible says he or she is a... If there is a mismatch, am I speaking to you? Are you all here? If there is a mismatch between what is in my heart and what is in my mouth, we call it hypocrisy. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you. With mouth, with lips, they talk, they worship, they come, they sing, they preach, they talk. But their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, said the Lord. Matthew 15, 7, 8 and 9. Young man and young woman, look at this man. When you consider these three incidents of Peter's life, I wish this afternoon Spirit of God should lay hold on us. I'm not going to talk much about the failure of this man. I want to talk to you about the faithfulness of the Savior. Failure? You have failure. I have failure. Who is a perfect person sitting here? We all have failures. You can already see tears in my eyes. It is enough. Enough. To hold the pulpits which are polluted. I feel scared. And that's why instead of being so much of preaching and so much of teaching and so many programs, AYC or ABC or you can have any, let us join together. But if it does not transform you and me to walk for the Lord, in the course, in the normal course of our life, where do we see the transformation and change? I tell you, when this 11 men, I already omitted one because he omitted. The 11 men, when the 12th was later on taken up together with them. You know what the Bible says about them? Enough them in the hands of the master to turn the world upside down. Can he use you? Can he use you? Just watch, not the failure of this person. We all are failures. But I want to talk to you this afternoon about the faithfulness of the Savior. Because when I read this portion of the scripture, I find when this person was beginning to sing, I read there, and the Lord immediately caught hold of him. What a Lord he is. Where are you today? How are you today? Are you sinking sinner? Or are you sinking saint? And the Lord delights to lay hold on you this afternoon. And all that I see is because of the gracious intervention of the Lord in one's life. So this afternoon, I want to tell you that God loves you. And He doesn't want in a way that you are going in the course of your life, the way you are walking in your life. The seven themes that we have, seven sessions that you have studied. In the time of review, when you are having your group discussions, you are trying to recollect, remember. It was very difficult for some of you. Oh, what was that? Ansel said, I forgot. It's quite natural. But look at that Savior, a gracious Savior. Because of the intervention of the Savior at each of these occasions in his life, this shapeless granite become a mighty vessel in the hands of God. Look at that. When he was beginning to sing, I find the Lord caught hold of him. When he was beginning to stray, I find the Lord corrected him. What was that beginning to stray that we read about in Matthew 16? When the Lord said, this is the way that I have to go. Peter said, no Lord, not this way. Let this not happen to you. He started straying. He started stumbling, he started talking things which he should not have. But the Lord corrected him, lovingly corrected him. Then you also see in Matthew 26 verse 74, when he was beginning to swear, the Lord challenged him. And how did the Lord deal with him? I want to show this very practically from this portion of the scripture. Keep these three things impressed on your heart. When the Lord has to work in somebody's house, this is the way the Lord deals with you and me. Such a gracious God is, such a loving God is. I sometimes wonder, you know, how much patiently he's tolerating with you and with me. How patient he is. I was thinking, if this is what you see on one, not one, but two screens, if it is a screen of my life, the very portrait of my life, what would have happened? What would have happened if all portrait of my life is pictured before at least this small group? Shame people. Lord, really, I did not walk the way you want me to walk. I learned about walking. I learned that I should not walk as men. I learned that I should not walk after flesh. I learned that I should not walk in the ways of men. But I should walk as the Lord Jesus walked. He who says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Lord, forgive me. We all have to put our faces down. But look at this man, because something very practical we would see from his life. When he was beginning to sink, the Lord intervened. Maybe to make it more clear about the failure of this person and see the faithfulness of the Savior, you know, there is always the intervention of the Lord. So this afternoon, I think it's a time of intervention of the Lord. Because he loved you, he gave you a holiday. Because he loved you, probably he called you all the way from America. Dan is here. Very happy to see. He came for his engagement, by the way. The Lord loves, and he gets a group like this. In a closer group, he wants to talk something. He wants to deal with us. He's a loving, gracious Savior. So when you think about this particular meeting, this review, this particular time together, maybe in this meeting, the Lord may lay hold on anyone sitting here. You may have some Benji sitting here. You may have some Binal sitting here. May not be from Hindu Bengali background. Leaving that apart, maybe a Binal in such affair or such relationship. Maybe a Benji trying to live a callous Christian life. Whatever it may be. When you look at the Peter's life, and when he started to sink in his life, three things I found were happening in his life. Maybe you can make a note of it. The crisis that he experienced, the cry that he expressed, and also the care that he enjoyed. Three things. What was the crisis that Simon experienced in his life? You know, whenever we live in this world, we need to ask these questions to ourselves. Whether such difficulties come into my life or not. Maybe this afternoon you can ask a question to yourself. Am I sinking? Or am I really walking for the Lord the way that Lord wants me to? Are you sinking this afternoon? You know where you are in your Christian life. The Lord knows where you are. He wants you to be walking. He wants you to really live in the course of your life. And the Lord wants to deal in your life and my life. He knows everything. So whatever the Lord wants to deal in your life and my life, ask this question this afternoon. The Spirit of God would like to ask you, are you a thinking Christian? Not walking the way the Lord wants you and me to walk. Are you thinking in sea of, what is that? Sea of? Difficulty? Who doesn't have difficulty? Everybody has. You and I are sitting here this afternoon, but there is a family who is in tears this afternoon. Do you know that? Lord's servant, Uncle Philip Samson, went to be with the Lord this morning. Just think of that family. They must be in sorrow. It's a difficult situation. Bereavement and the sorrow of bereavement is something sometimes beyond, you know, that you and I can handle in our life. Maybe bereavement, or maybe unemployment, or maybe you are saying, Lord, I am losing my spiritual ground. Lord, I cannot handle it. I am going down in my Christian life. You know where you are. If you are sinking in the sea of difficulty, this afternoon, whatever may be your problems, you can turn to this Lord who is ready to take you out of these pressures of this life. Well, some of them are sinking in the sea of difficulties, but some of them are sinking in the sea of doubts. What are the doubts that they have? So many things. So much of workload. Lord, how can I continue? How can I do? I have to manage. I have to balance between this and that. Church and home and work. How do I do that? It's too much, Lord. And what am I doing? Is it really worth? You ask a question to yourself. There are increased responsibilities. You are unable to cope up. You see failures in your life. So many doubts crop in. And the sea of difficulties, or sea of doubt, make you and me to sink down in our Christian life. Well, there is also a sea of devotion. It should have been a time of daily time to be spent with the Lord. Are you spending that time, daily quiet time with the Lord? Do you really begin your day in talking to the Lord, taking His guidance, taking His counsel before you step out of the house? Or it is like this Christianity? Take a Bible. Did you read your Bible, son, before you go out? Mommy says, did you read your Bible? Yes, mommy, I read. Opened the Bible, closed the Bible, said amen, and already out in the bus or local. So busy we are. When we lose our touch with the Lord, if the quiet time is eliminated in your life, you are sinking in the sea of devotion. Remember, it should have been a devotion towards the Lord. No hearing from the Lord. What happens there? You know, instead of scriptures, you are replaced with what? Screen. And no time to read the Bible, no time to read the scripture, no time to meditate, no time to study it, but spending time on things which we should not have. What is that? Scriptures are replaced with screens. You have it on hand, palm, what all pads you call it. When I was seeing your songbook, that also is another pad for you. Just to make you aware, I think they have made it in this design. That this is the pad you need, not that pad. Yeah. Venturing into the sights that you and I should not be. Is that happening in your life? Are you a thinking sinner or thinking saint? Wandering into the sights which are not healthy and holy. I tell you, these days, this is what is really shrinking many Christians in their life. As I heard in one of your group discussions, if at all the death and apathy has happened, not outside the assembly, it is happening within the assembly, inside the house of God. They think everything is secured for us, all settled for me. But look at this. How many of them are thinking Christians today? Are you one among these? Is there something that is, I didn't know you'll be talking about Benji and Binal this afternoon. But there is so much that I found about Benji and Binal. You know, all those six sessions that you wanted to relate through their life and bring application for yourselves. The seventh one is not found there. Because there is nothing, as far as Benji or Binal concerned, walking in the ways of the Lord or walking in the footsteps of the Lord. What all things have happened, we're all negatives in their life. And how sad it is, you know, when many Christians keep themselves justifying in relationship which are not right, which are not scriptural. Remember, they are sinking in their Christian life. Are you walking or are you sinking? When you think about this, let me see here, not only the crisis he experienced, but the cry he expressed. When he started sinking, he immediately cried out, Lord, save me. Was it a desperate cry?
I see his faith in that desperation also. He was not in desperation, but it was a cry to the Lord. You know, and when he cried to the Lord, in that cry, Lord, save me, he cried out. You know, you and I often, when we are caught up into times like this and situations like this, maybe a temptation, maybe a snare, maybe anything that is not right in our life, shouldn't have been there, you and I ask, what can I do? You know, he did what you and I can do. What did he do? He cried out to the Lord. He came back to the Lord. The cry that he expressed, Lord, there is no other help, no other solution. Had there been solution for Benji, he should have gone to the elders of the assembly. Uncle, what should I do? Well, he already said, you know, people make an issue out of it. Instead of making, you know, helping him to understand and come out of the problem. He is afraid, he cannot go to anybody. I feel that situation most of the time makes you and me to sink. Be very careful what I am going to say now. As a boy, if you are not able to confide in your father, as a girl, if you are not able to confide in your mother, there is something wrong in your relationship within the house. What may come in your life? If you can confide in your father, if you can confide in your mother, and if you can confide somebody in the assembly who is spiritual and who can guide you and help you out of those situations, how good it will be. You know, when I talk about it, I wish in my assembly, wherever the Lord has kept me, it should be me in not only helping my children, but also children who are in the assembly. Can somebody look to you for that particular counsel, that particular help? You know, when situations are not found, people try to justify themselves and start thinking even more as Benji was thinking. But look at this person. How many times you and I not only have left the quiet time that you and I should have, you know, these are something basic that we may think. But if there is no quiet time, there is no daily manna, if there is no daily collection, if there is no daily food, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And if that for my spiritual living, if I don't collect my daily manna for my daily living, you will be starving. Well, not only collecting from the Lord, but also putting it before the Lord. How many of you really take time out to spend on knees before the Lord in prayer? We are talking about walking for the Lord. Walk that matters. You know what walk that matters? You may walk in this world and make a great name and fame, and even if you enter into the records of the Guinness Book of World Record, they call it. What would it make if your life and my life does not make any sense for God? For all we know, we say that all that is of the world will remain in the world, we'll leave it here and we will go to the Lord. All that you do, you and I do, in the name of the Lord, for the Lord, things of the Lord, let me tell you, it is a spiritual investment. This, you need to study, no doubt in it. You need to go to a better college. You need to go to a better institution. You need to be a doctor or engineer or whatever profession you need to pursue in your life. You should go to those higher profiles. But that is only to make your earning, living, bread and butter in this life. But ultimately, we will not be called there Dr. So-and-so. We will not be called there Engineer So-and-so. We will not be called any of those titles which we might decorate ourselves and, you know, make ourselves big in this world. What will we carry there is something. Your labor, Bible says, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. If I could see one Digvijay here standing like this, I think there are many Digvijays moving around in this Mumbai. If one Johnny Verghese could reach to him, why not many other Johnny Vergheses could be found in this gathering, in the assemblies here. Young men, young women, you and I are needed to be in the hands of the Lord. Are you spending time on your knees? When was it last that you prayed? When did the Lord see you reading the scripture seriously? Meditating, making note of it and applying things in your life. We are talking about walking for the Lord. And are we sinking in our Christian life? Just think about yourself and put it in this account, because this is what really matters. When I was thinking, so Peter started sinking. What level of water that was? When do you call one sinking? Was it a knee level? Was it a waist level? Was it a neck level? Was it a chin level? What level? You know which level of water you are sinking in now. He was walking on the water, literally on the water. But when he saw the boisterous wind, that's a very good word. What does that speak to us? There are dangers. There are dangers from all corners. It will not take much time for a boisterous wind to build up and to come in your life and my life. When he saw the boisterous wind, well, he started sinking. It doesn't come suddenly. When the bad things come in one's life, they come from all corners. Remember. And because of that, he started sinking. Which level of water are you sinking this afternoon? You know it, whether it is knee level or waist level or neck level or chin level, or is it crossing beyond that? It will not happen all of a sudden. It will happen step by step. Where are you if the Lord has to see and watch you this afternoon? You have to really think about it. If he could call upon the Lord, if he could say, Lord, save me. And the Lord was there. He was very close to him. He immediately caught hold of him and picked him up. What is needed? If you want to enjoy that kind of care of the Lord, this afternoon, will you call upon him? Will you say you are Lord? Will you confess that which is hidden? Maybe sea of difficulty, maybe sea of doubt, maybe sea of devotion. Whatever wrong mistake that you think in your life are happening around in you. You know it and the Lord knows it. And the Lord doesn't want you to be thinking, but the Lord wants you to be walking. If you want to walk, the Lord is ready to provide the help and succor and care and strength. And he's ready to lift you up. He doesn't want you to be in the situation that you are. Fooling yourself and fooling others. How long will you continue to sink in the waters like this? Will you call on him? Will you confess? Will you clear up all that is between you and the Lord? Will you have that real approach to the Lord and the Lord's approach towards you, for which if you come to him, the Lord is always ready to help you? What care Peter enjoyed. Just think of this with me. The care Peter enjoyed, I think, was, first of all, he was held up by the arm of omnipotence. Can you imagine that? Who hold him? And when he holds him, how dare there be any wind? How dare there be any wave? How dare there be any storm which can dislodge Peter from the hands of his master? Can there be anything? Absolutely nothing. Nothing can dislodge Peter, because he is in the strong arm of the omnipotence, the grip of the grace of God, which will never allow you and me to be slipped and sinking and falling and going away from the Lord. The Lord is there. He is ready to help you. But when? But when? When you know that you are sinking. When you know that the Lord is there. When you know that you can call him. When you know that he can save you. And when you cry and confess and come to the Lord, he is ready to hold you with his arm of omnipotence. And no wind, let me tell you, my brother, dear sister, no wind, no waves that can pull you down thereafter, because you will be in the strong hands. If you want to study about the hand of the Lord, it will be another 1 hour subject for you to see. Oh, how good it is to know that we are safe in the hands of the Lord Jesus. We are carved on his palm, you know. And if we are safe, if we are carved and the Lord has to be really holding us, usually whenever I preach the gospel, I would like to say like this, it is not that I hold the hand of the Lord Jesus. No, no, no. You know, they say, come to the Lord Jesus, confess your sin and hold him, his hand. He has stretched forth his hand. Will you stretch forth your hand and hold him? Wait a minute. You know what will happen? Many have tried and held his hand. Many have confessed, many have repented, many have come to the Lord and they held his hand, but they held it for a while. When they saw something good, something pleasant for themselves, they could easily leave the grip, leave the hand and do the way they like. That's what many Christians are doing. That's what many youngsters are doing, especially, I tell you. You know, if you have laid hold on his hand, you're likely to leave whenever you want. What I'm talking is the other way around. Ask him to lay hold on your hand. If he holds, you just cannot slip. You just cannot run around. You just cannot go. Because he will hold you. As you come with a clear conscience and confessing your sin, you will be brought out of this sinking condition and brought into the table walk for the Lord. That's what the Lord needs today. When I talk about sinking Peter, let me tell you one more thing here. You know, in which water was he sinking? It was Sea of Galilee. That lake was very familiar to him. Young man, young woman, please remember, there is always danger of drowning in the waters that are familiar to you. I know this, I can do this, I can handle it, I know how to cope up, I can. The waters were very familiar to him. He knew every nook and corner. He was a fisherman. He moved everywhere. He knew it and he sank in the same water. Think of these people. For example, Samson. What happened to him? He began to sink near his home. Think of the other person, David, who began to sink in his own palace. Peter, in the very familiar sea, he also was sinking. You may think things are all familiar to me, I can just handle it. But it is not possible. They were all sinking because of the gracious, loving care and the immediate remedy from the Lord. The Lord caught hold of him and he was saved. While there are dangers from every side, but there is able hand of God available for you and for me. If we turn to him, you know, you and I cannot handle it. Be it your temptation, be it your trouble, be it your difficulty, whatever it may be. Just say, Lord, I cannot handle it. I want you to handle it. I want you to lay hold of your hand in my life. Take me out of this. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. Which area of life is drowning you, making you sink instead of walk? You know it. If you cry, if you come, if you confess, if you repent, this afternoon can be the Lord's intervention for you and you can be brought out on that table ground. When I was thinking, Peter was sinking, but the gracious hand of God was ready to bring him out of that. The Lord caught hold of him immediately. Let me turn to the second one quickly. As we see in Matthew's Gospel chapter 16 and verse 22. Beloved, he was not only sinking, that was the first situation, and the Lord was there graciously intervening in his life and to bring him up out of that sinking condition. The Lord saved him and the Lord wants to save you this afternoon from that sinking condition. But I find Peter, just little later in Matthew's Gospel chapter 16 and verse 22, he began to rebuke the Lord. What do we read there? He said, Lord, let this not happen to you. What not happen to you? Just before a time, he said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord blessed him and said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. A little time has gone, then the Father's will, the Son started telling to his disciples that I must need to go to Jerusalem. I'll be caught up by them. I'll be betrayed. I'll be crucified. And this is what will happen to me. You know what did Peter say? Peter immediately said, Let this not happen to you, Lord. What was the reply of the Lord to him? The reply of the Lord to him was, Get thee behind me, Satan. What do I learn from that passage? Let me draw just that particular point to you. Who should decide whose path? The Lord disciple's path or the disciple Lord's path? The Lord has already his path ordained. The Lord, his word, his
decisions, his programs is already decided in the word. It is decided. And according to the counsel of the Father, that which is written of me in the volume of the law of the Lord, so I have come to do thy will, O Father. He knew what is written. He came to do that which is written. And who is he who can tell to the Lord, Lord, not that road, not Jerusalem, not cross. Why that way, Lord? How do I apply that to our situation? You and I must remember, you and I live in the world which rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. There is always resenting in this world. There is always a Christian, when he wants to walk worthy of the Lord in this world, you know what they try to do? We try to find out a soft path for ourselves. We want to give options to the Lord. Why this? Why not this? That's what the younger generation says today. Uncle, why like this? Why not like that? You know, turn to the word of God. Turn to the doctrines of the word. For it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching doctrine. For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. That the man and woman of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. It is given, it is designed, it is planned, it is decided, it is settled in heaven. You and I have absolutely no option to change the path and plan and program of God. That's what many youngsters do. As you are talking about Benji and Binal, how good it would have been if a Bengali Hindu comes to know the Lord. Well, he had his eye on her. A conversation began. It began for hours together. And then as he likes her and she likes them, they develop that relationship. How can I have her? If I introduce gospel to her, I think I can have her. If I can talk to her about the Lord, I can have her. Be very careful. Satan is very subtle. He is very subtle. You and I are not to bring people to Christ in such way. By entering into relationship, some people say, I can win one soul for the Lord. Well, there are many other ways to win soul for the Lord. Why this way? Why when you have been ill, then only you can live your life? When it is against the scripture, soft path, options. He wanted to rewrite the program. You cannot rewrite the word of God. A believer must not marry an unbeliever. Written, it's done. Lord, I abide by it. Even if my age cross time pass, I'll wait for you, Lord. I want to obey the word. Even if I'm not married, will do for me, Lord. But I will obey and I'll abide by the word. The moment you confess this, I tell you, the Lord will open door for you. No doubt in it. He can do. But his plans and programs are fixed. Peter started to going astray. He started to rebuke the Lord. And what we find there is, one and only solution that you and I should remember in our life is that when the Lord will have his rightful place in our life, we will have our rightful places. We will have our things given to us by the Lord. And that's the ultimate blessing for us. When we say, Lord, let him have the Lordship. When we say, Lord, let him have the same. When we say, Lord, let him have the rule and control and oversight and leading in my life. When I say, Lord, and like those two about whom we read in Luke's Gospel chapter 9. Lord, I want to come after you, but my father. Lord, I want to come after you, but my house. Lord, I want to do this, but. The moment you say, Lord and but, it doesn't go together. Lord, here I am. That's what is needed today. When Savior will have his rightful place, we will have ours. Thank God. How shall we thank God? He catches us when we sink. And he corrects us when we go astray. Don't find alternate way. Don't find solution. Don't suggest the Lord. If he says this, if you want to walk after him, this is what he expects from your life and my life. Nothing more, nothing less. Lord, you said it, I do. But Peter was not like that. He was going astray in his second situation. But the Lord intervened and the Lord corrected him. Look at the third one quickly as we think in Matthew's Gospel chapter 26. And I just turned straight to verse 74 because there I find Peter when he was denying the Lord. How did he deny the Lord? If you read that passage, you will find there. He began to swear, Bible says. He began to rebuke. He began to swear. He began to sink. Think of these three things happening in his life. When he began to sink, the Lord caught hold of him. When he began to stray, the Lord corrected him. But now, when he began to swear, what was he swearing there? In his swear, he did not go against the Lord, actually, you know. Whatever he said of the Lord, we find he did not abuse. He did not use bad words. He did not curse. Or he did not use a language which is not right. But what did he deny? He did not deny even the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then what did he deny? He denied the relationship with him. You know, you and I may acknowledge the Lord is Lord, the Lord is Master, the Lord is Creator, the Lord is great and all that. But when you and I commit sin against him, it is that relationship we deny. And when he denied that relationship, what has happened there is this. See that passage, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Let me read that verse for you. We read there, chapter 26 and verse 74. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. See the voice that he employed. He used his voice. In swearing. In saying. But the Lord used the rooster's voice. The moment he heard the rooster's voice, the cock crew. And he remembered. Whenever you and I are liable to commit sin. As one young man was telling in the group discussion there. There comes a buzzer. You were saying that. A buzzer always comes if you're a child of God. Here is a buzzer. With this, actually, he should have, whenever the buzzer comes to us, this is not right, this is wrong, you should have not gone by that way, you should have left it. But this buzzer came to him, and I think, any time thereafter, as long as Peter lived in this world, whenever the cock crow, what must have been his condition? Even after his restoration, anywhere if he would have heard the rooster's voice, it would have flashed back the whole incident in his life. Beloved, when he started to swear and curse and deny his relationship with the Lord intervened with his voice. Because the Lord does it. Because the Lord loves. And that's why when you read the scripture or when you come to the assembly, when you hear the word of God, that's how the Lord brings that buzzer to us. That the path that you and I are continuing, we should not. And we should turn to the Lord and live for the praise of his glory. That's what the Lord desires from you and from me. And this was enough for Peter to return to the Lord. But we read about him. You know what? When he heard the rooster's voice, he wept bitterly. I don't know this afternoon who after hearing the words that have happened, the incident that have happened in Peter's life, and know that they are sinking, know that they are straying, or know that they are swearing, or know that they are doing things in breaking the relationship with the Lord. In personal life, in secret life, will have the same way in their life. He went out and he wept bitterly. Think of it for a while. He went out and he wept bitterly. When I was thinking he went out, well, he wept. That was a sign of his repentance. I already see some of you are holding your hands, holding your heart, holding your tears, holding your words,